And we're live!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 67 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Mato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's going on, T-Rex? You ready to do another show?
I'll tell you what's going on.
Uh-oh. What's that? Uh-oh! That is actually, it's not making all the sounds it's supposed to. That's the new adventure. So
I mean, I was going to do the power off blasting to let you know how ready I was, and it could not have been more bomb for me now, man.
Yeah, so people watching were like, eh? And the people who are listening are like,
it's okay. It's just like a really crummy bottle rocket that just.
No, it's just, I can picture the sword when it did this. Look, Tyler, you had the sword, it went like this, and then it just went, ew.
Yeah, it limp, you know?
It just went, there went that. Yeah, well,
that was...
It's going spontaneously now. It's trying to, it's like, please pick me up.
I'm so excited about doing it, and like, you know, be the first podcast to feature the New Adventures Power, so live on, you know, on YouTube here, and it just... fizzled out and die like a small dying rat.
Well, it tried. I guess that's all that matters. So,
in this, you know, very pissant way, I'm trying to say I'm ready to tackle this 2 weeks episode, and hope that this beginning is not a sign of things to come for this episode.
Yeah, let's just hope it doesn't fizzle out. So, well, I guess before we
I'm so pissed off about that right now.
That's all right. You tried. I guess that's the thing that matters. So, well, before we get to our topics and all our discussion, I guess the only thing I've seen as for new news or something was, I didn't know if you've seen that Funko is going to be making another, you know, pop vinyl figure, and it's going to be Trapjaw. That's going to be coming out, I think, in May of this year. So I don't know if you've seen that, but it was pretty cool. It's like, hey, I thought they were done with the pop figures, and to see that they're still doing more, it's like, hey, man, it's pretty cool to add to the collection.
I didn't see it, but I'm sure it looks cool.
It does. I mean, of course, you know, the other ones are way too expensive now online. I know somebody in particular is selling off some of his Skeletor ones. They might make a pretty penny, so hopefully he gets some good money off that. Well, I won't drop no names. But, yeah, so that's pretty cool. So that's the Trapjaw thing. But we have, like, a few topics. Well, at least three topics we're going to talk about. One is an interesting one that I guess I've never really thought of. I mean, it's something you've always listened to, I guess you just take it for granted. You maybe never thought deep into it, and maybe there's not a lot to think, but his name is Brian Peters. I hope I said your last name right. I think it's Peters. He's from the one Facebook group that I have, the Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. He had this, it was like a question. He said, I have a question. In the Filmation cartoon, do you prefer the Adam voice saying by the power of Grayskull or He-Man voice? You know what's weird is I guess I've never really sat and thought about that because, you know, we've heard for years that intro. And to me, which I could be wrong, I'm just saying to me, when that intro goes and anytime you see Adam say, by the power of Grayskull, to me, it always sounds like He-Man's voice. It has the booming, echoing, a little deeper, more powerful, and goes right to I have the power. And then I thought about the Adam thing because some people say, oh, they prefer Prince Adam, but you know, I've never really heard Prince Adam say it, except a couple times, maybe one where it didn't finish, and the other was the Dawn of Dragoon, where everything's backwards, and remember, yeah. Adam holds up, and you distinctly hear, by the power of Grayskull, you know, the nerdy voice, if you will, and that sounds off to me. It's like, oh, now that's Prince Adam to me. People could say what we've always heard was Prince Adam, but just a little boomier, but I thought it was He-Man. What about you? I don't know, that was an interesting topic. What do you think?
Logically, you know, I guess you could always say that Adam changes his or hides his true voice, you know, because when he does the transformation, he's always by himself, unless Cringer's there, and then you hear the big, you know, deep voice by the power of Grayskull. I mean, I always think of Shadow of Skeletor, where he gets ready to pull the power sword out on the Doom Buster with Teela, Ram Man, and Man at Arms all present. And you hear that, but really, it just kind of comes off as like an animation error. Well, not like a sound editing error, you know, that technically Adam's voice should be saying by the power of Grayskull once the the sword bursts into action and
Right.
transforms. The voice should change then, but it sounds so cool though when Adam, even in the opening sequence when he's talking in his Adam voice and then says by the power of Grayskull in the big booming voice, I'm like, it sounds too cool for me to sit there and nitpick it and think this is a logical error, because I can't argue with something that's just too kick ass, and
Yeah.
that's what it is.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, I guess I've never thought of it. It's
I
always
mean, in YP, it's Adam's voice, boom, transformation, and then you've got the deep He-Man voice,
even
and
New Adventures had the two different
New
voices.
Adventures of He-Man has got by the power of Eternia, I have the power in the deep voice, so.
Yeah, see, and that's what's weird. It's just that was what I thought was fun about his question, because in Filmation, it just always sounds like He-Man, which
Really kind of comes off as like, they're finding their footing with the He-Man cartoon, because even the She-Ra cartoon where Adora has her voice yelling and then turns into the She-Ra voice, which is, two distinct voices. So it really just kind of comes off as just something, is just like an editing error, and that's really about it. I don't think there's any kind of special hidden meaning that somebody could sit and, dig up a bunch of, crates buried in some warehouse, or find something buried in Cairo, like the Ark of the
it was an
Covenant.
interesting topic what he did, because I mean, what it made you think was it Prince Adam saying it, and then it was He-Man. I guess, like, I've always seen, of course, Prince Adam, but it's always sounded like He-Man. So it would, I think it just would sound awkward, as we've heard, like you said, in the couple episodes where it was going to be Adam's voice, but nothing ever happened. That's when you knew it wasn't going to happen. When you heard Adam saying it, you just knew, oh, this ain't happening. And I'm glad. It's like it just wouldn't be right. But then, like
But
you
then
said,
again, too, if you look at it that way, it definitely doesn't come off as a sound editing error. It strictly sounds like, we can use this for storytelling purposes, because that's obviously like Dawn of Dragoon, Shadow of Skeletor, to name a couple episodes where Adam's saying it and can't finish it, or it says it all the way through and clearly nothing happens, to show you that, no, nothing's happening right now, to tease us as the audience to. Oh, trouble's happening here. Can't do the transformation just yet, kids.
no, and that's true. And that's why, like you said, I mean, they did it in New Adventures, but in MY, MYP, it was really obviously noticeable. What it was good though, it's like I wouldn't want to have heard He-Man's voice as Prince Adam in MYP and then also as He-Man. So that worked for whatever reason. It's like, yes, because he looks completely different. Maybe that helped because he looks so much younger and then he becomes the bigger guy compared to the Filmation. They pretty much, just because, like you said, saving on animation and stuff, they look pretty much similar.
I
So
get
you
so
felt like,
pissed off when people piss and moan over that. And I tell you,
well, yeah.
I just want to, rough them up. Take them down a dark back alley and just rough up people who sit there and slam, oh, it looks cheap. And it's just coloring, Prince Adam the tan and this and that. And you just want to, just pull a Jim
Well,
Croce, just starts,
like you said, everybody had the same
take a
build.
power sword and give a piece of your mind here, it's.
Yeah, if it works, but
Yeah,
no.
if it works, if the power just falls over a length, then you look like, a jackass,
Yeah,
like I
but no,
did.
I mean, but like you said, Filmation, all of them are pretty buff, so it's just that's how it worked. But MYP, it worked. I guess it worked, like you said, for every cartoon, for whatever purpose. But yeah, I've never really thought of it then. Now that I do think about it, yeah, that's never been Prince Adam, in my opinion, in Filmation, with his voice saying it, because of how we said you could hear the two distinct differences, especially on the episodes where you knew it wasn't going to happen.
I wish we'd got to hear more of the alternate intro, because it just this discussion just makes me think of the alternate intro where He-Man says the evil masters of the universe. Oh man,
Yeah.
that intro gives me goosebumps when I hear that one. It just sounds even more grandiose, talking about Skeletor and his warriors.
Was that
What
only
that.
one time that was ever popped up with that alternate intro?
Yeah, on the. I don't know if it aired on TV, but it was on the volume one of the VHS tapes in America. On the,
Okay.
it was on attached to the Dragon Invasion.
Oh.
So anybody who rented that tape as a kid got to hear, and I did. I rented that a tape a lot, and noticed right away this alternate intro, and always thought it sounded really cool. But I never questioned it. I never wondered, why is it just, just a little bit? Because anytime you see something you're not familiar with, you do kind of wonder about it. But I'm not pulling out the chalkboard and trying to dissect and pull apart and take all the fun out of it. I'm like, hey, that was really cool. Wonder why they did it that time,
Yeah. And would have been
It's
weird to, because you're somebody that hates hearing, the good guys being called the masters of the universe. So that would have
you
been
just
weird.
have to find some way of working it in here,
Well,
you know, and then gather the forces who are just all about, you know, the MYP title of the characters, you know, the masters. It's like, shut the hell up.
yeah, it was so grandiose how he said it, which came off just annoying. Because, like I always say, we've seen that referenced in the first early Alcala mini comics, Masters of the Universe. But the way it was in MYP just came off strange to where I don't like how he said it.
It just sounds, I don't want to say like egotistical or pompous, but it just doesn't sound right. It just feels
Yeah.
forced. And to hear Banner, I was
Forced.
like, oh, the masters are being instructed to investigate. Like, you know, I hate you in this version of the cartoon Man at Arms, and I hate how you keep calling Stratos and Buzz Off Manny Faces and Ram Man and Roboto and Cyclone, you know, oh, they're the masters. The masters will act as escort team. The masters will clean up the plumbing, you know, in mess. You know, the masters will clean up the, you know, the duty stain in the bathroom or what, you know, it's,
What would have
you know,
things been like?
I hate it.
What if that would have been weird though? What if they used, that alternate intro, and what if, yeah, all the bad guys were Masters of the Universe? That would have been unique.
I, you know, and I looking at the series as a whole, when you say master universe, I'm like, clearly you feel like, I mean, you look at the very first wave of toys, like Merman is the evil ocean warrior. You feel like this is the master of the ocean. Stratos is the master of the skies. He's the man, he's the character of He-Man that flies.
Felt like it
You
was
know,
all of
Man
them.
at Arms.
It, yeah.
Yeah, like it's like whatever it is that their gimmick is, that is what they are the master of. Jitsu is the master of the martial arts until Ninjor comes along. Then you got like a cohort, a sidekick, a buddy for Jitsu. You know, Fisto, master of hand-to-hand combat. You know, it just you kind of feel like they are the best at what they do. Mossman is the master of the plants and forests and things like
No,
that.
I mean, they're gimmicks. Like you said, it's like everybody
They're
had their
giving,
thing.
and like that, there is no race of these people. Do you understand me?
Right. And
You know,
yeah, it's perfect, though. You're right. Everybody had a gimmick. That's always what Masters has been about. The name represents what they can do, what they look like. It means something about who they are. So you're right. Masters should encompass all of them. Because when I was growing up, when I got my Masters of the Universe figures, I thought of just all of them. And while the mini comic referred to, like I said, the good guys more as masters, and like you said, if the cartoon would have went villains, I kind of agree. I don't like the labels of Masters of the Universe being good or bad. I just like it being just the entire universe.
encompassing everybody, you know, and you know, I'm fine with having a couple of exceptions. Like I love, you know, the Caligars, Whiplash's people. I love that idea. There's a few ideas of this stuff, but I don't like, you know, a clan of Clawful. I don't like a clan of arachnids, you know, that Webster comes from. I don't want a clan of, you know, I'm
Spike
fine with the
ores and
I'm fine with a clan of bee people slash Andreans. I'm fine with something like that. There's some things I'm like, not everybody has to come from, I mean, even though technically they probably would, but we don't need to see it. We don't need to see it explained. It takes away a lot of the mystique
sure.
of the character. A little bit here and there is fine, but I really, really have always been about there's one Cyclone, not a race of people from the island of Anwar-Gar. There is
Right.
fine with Huntara being, you know, a member of the Cilaxians, of from the planet Cilax, a planet of hunters and warriors and trappers and skilled bounty hunters, if you will, you know, a merman, just one. I don't want to see that there's tons of mermen living into the ocean depths. I don't want to see that. You know, it's, you know, a bunch of beast men. No, I just, well, then again, too, I buy that since that was William Stout's idea for the live action movie. I could buy a clan of beastmen for that,
Oh, no, don't you have a double standard there. Don't you do the double standard.
but no, but I can and I will.
He's like, I can't. I will. No, yeah, you're right. Some of them it can work for, but either way, what sucks is then, like you said, if there is everybody has a race of beastmen, a race of, spikers, whatever the heck they are, it's like their name is almost meaningless. And like, I'm Beastman. I come from the race of beastmen, and these are all the other beast warriors. It's like, okay, what is this? Is this Beastman number one, Beast Dude, Beast Girl? And, I don't know. Like you said, I don't need to. I know they can, but no, just leave them. Let them be. Let them be their own unique individual character.
I
That's
don't know why
what.
people think that's such great storytelling or backstories for characters when you have to say that, And of course, when we're saying this, typically this is all the classics bio crap, and that doesn't need to be given any more attention than it already has. And it was only done sparingly in MYP, like having races that interact with your typical cast of characters, like the Spillians, the Caligars, the Kulataks. That's all. That's great. That's fine. Enhancing the world with creatures and races and stuff like that's fine. But when you're giving us races of Fang Men, you're giving us races of,
I think we
I
could be
don't like to
happy.
think Cobra Khan coming from a clan of snake men, other than he's just the master of snakes. He is a snake man who controls snakes, like much like Beastman controls all kinds of demons and monsters and creatures. Well, Cobra Khan does the same, but with all snakes. And
Because you know what happens with that? It kind of takes away from the unique character that you're looking at. Because to know that there's tons of them, it's
don't
like,
like that.
sorry.
It's like, is Joe being the horror fan explaining why Michael Myers, does what he, I felt like you can get away with that for Halloween too, because you're trying to do like the whole Empire Strikes Back thing, tying it all together with family ties, but that's fine. But you start digging deeper and saying he's just got to kill anybody who's part of his family. And then he clenches his fist up in part four, like, "Dear God, you're telling me I have a niece and she's alive? I'm gonna kill the little brat." I'm like, don't over-explain all this stuff. I mean, if fans get pissed off all the time, because as much as fans of any property come across a mysterious character or mysterious or unique idea that's not explained, it's just there. I find it to be so much more exciting wondering more about that character than what anybody could put on a cartoon script, a movie script, a comic book script. I mean, unless you've really got something that's inspiring and not so much like, "This is so cheap and lazy, man. You're just doing this to get the paycheck so you can get your Big Mac and go home."
Yeah.
I just I've always hated that. People want to do origin stories for these characters, like doing one shot, comic books. Like, Trap Jaw was an exception to what I was saying. Is like they did a really good job of if you buy the whole Cronus idea, which I like the idea of Trap Jaw being a criminal from another dimension from the prison star, and it's a powerful character, and eventually teams up with Skeletor. But the Cronus backstory works too, if you buy that. I think it was done very well and builds up Trapdoll's not just a basic henchman, but a very competent, calculating, and very strong-willed villain that, it's not to be trifled with, except
Right.
towards Skeletor. So it really depends. If you got a writer that's very passionate about this character and is not just phoning it in, like so many fans have dealt with in various sorts of video games and comic books and movies and so many things where you feel like this is so cheap and lazy and just, it's been
You know
half-assed.
what? I could tell you where I think it works for some characters and the others that it doesn't, to where they cop out and do the race of things. Now, when you think of somebody like Triclops, Trapjaw, Ram Man, even Man at Arms, these characters. These are characters that are all, if you want to say human, but have special abilities. So it's unique to them, just like Mechanic, unique to him. But then when you start getting to creatures, like you said, Beast Man, Merman, and oh, maybe what is Spike Ore? When you start thinking about what are these creatures, they figure, let's make a race of them. And I don't like that. It's like, still, okay, I know they're creatures, but let them be. Still let them be special because, yeah, like you said, their origins or something can work for humanized characters, I guess. Like you could picture, okay, how did Ram Man get the outfit? Why does he bash? What made him do this? How do you get the springy legs? It's not like Ram Man comes from a race of springy warriors all wearing
Now,
big
and I
armor.
would want to know how, the Filmation style ramming has the spring-loaded legs. I'm like, it's just, don't tell me, because you know what? Whatever you tell me, it's going to make the character, suck. Because you're gonna take away of like, dude, it's too cool. I don't care. I don't need to know why he does what he does. MYP is more, easier. He's just a big guy who, runs into stuff. Not so much bouncing from wall to wall if he can. Much like in Quest for the Sword that you mutilated and castrated on the air live.
Yes, they had to do it.
But But you know, it's all right to give explanations like for Exendar being an experiment of the Horde. You know, Roboto is either a creation of Man-at-Arms or an alien from another planet, which I could buy both of those. But I tend to, you know, not that everything Man-at-Arms has to invent so many things, because then it's just it goes right back to, you know, him and his, you know, hand-fisted exposition of, oh, look, I just found this new status race convenient to help when we're in a pickle in the middle of the story. And oh, I just created this, and I created, like, no, we're giving this guy too much credit for a lot of the mythology here.
Yeah.
So a little bit here and there is fine,
Right.
but I prefer to be Mandarin's to be your weapons expert. He's seen it all, he's done it all, you know, tinkers with science and stuff like that, building new weapons and stuff like that. But this is the guy who's leading the forces of He-Man is not there, essentially. Not the guy who's creating every, you know, I created Snoutspout, and I created Roboto, and I created Rotar, and I created,
You know, I
you know.
enjoyed at least Roboto. I mean, at least with him, I do prefer him being somebody that was a creation by whoever, but at least a creation.
I am perfectly fine with Man-at-Arms being responsible for Rotar and Roboto. Really about it. I don't need him to be the source of, you know, he's got an assembly line and he's just churning out heroic warriors all the time. You know, like, no, I don't want to see that. You
Right, we don't need it at all. Some things it works, some doesn't. But well, now see
Not
what.
everything is. We A common thing we've said on the show is just like not everything has to be related. You know, there can be some things that are just there, and who cares?
Right. That's how sometimes I prefer. I mean, I like some things being related, sure, that's fine, but most of the time, yeah, I just like things. There you go. We don't need an explanation, but if they do it, hey, what the heck? More power to them if they can do it right.
But
But
let me ask you this: Does the idea of you know building up in you know intensity and drama for the story of Skeletor being He-Man's uncle, like, it just doesn't roll off the it just doesn't sound epic when you say, you know, Skeletor, he's my uncle. You know, it just doesn't have the same ring as like, he's your brother, he's your father, you know, he's your for sister's cousin's
I know.
former roommate, you know.
The uncle thing is kind
It
of
just
like,
doesn't sound as dramatic, you know. It's like I know everyone is going to try and go for their big Darth Vader moment in a lot of
a
celebration.
second. Hold up. Picture that. Picture, like you said, the uncle thing, the whole impact of that. Picture when Darth Vader was looking at Luke and he says, I am your uncle. It's like, oh, shoot. I got it from it. Like, wow, that was
I know it
powerful.
doesn't have the same impact. I mean, when everyone is like, oh my gosh, you know, it's gonna be so epic and great, and you know, your nipples are just gonna get so hard and react over the idea that Skeletor is He-Man's uncle. I'm like, dude, it's just kind of, it's like flat as baloney. There's
Yeah.
no, I mean, can you picture this in a movie? You know, when Randor is having this heart-to-heart conversation with Adam, and Randor's, you know, biting his fist, you know, in drama, like he doesn't know. I'm afraid to tell Adam, he's your uncle, you know.
Thank you, God.
I mean, the
No.
audience just kind of be like, you know,
Great.
it would be like, it's deflating. It's just power sore was for me tonight,
Yeah.
you
Well,
know.
you know what? Hey, I mean, something that could have been cooler if they were wanting dramatic thing is what if somehow, you know, Skeletor. Okay, here's the thing. We had the separation of the twins, you know, with Adam and Adora when they were, you know, babies. What if maybe when babies instead, it was Adam and little baby Keldor, and then that one separated and became evil Skeletor, and he found, but here, and he found out he's your brother. Now that is more of like, oh, Jesus,
No, it's
Skeletor. This
not. No, it's not.
you
No,
twit. What I'm saying
you
is,
get the paint. You know,
what
Randor
I.
Renton, not only does He-Man have a blue brother here, but we're also again painting Randor as he's sleeping around with blue skinned women.
No, I was getting to the point of what you were
And
saying, though, of an
obviously, Marlene
impact.
was fine with it because she's just like, where did this one come from? Or no, wait, no,
No.
I think they're right. Marlena would be sleeping around with blue skinned
See?
men.
It's just the impact. What I meant is, like you said, I'm just talking about impact. I
When you
wouldn't
get
want
with the
either
beginning, me,
thing.
myself, and Irene here, where
No.
you know, clearly, you know, Jim Carrey's children are not his, you know, and come out of the womb, and you know, oh,
Right.
this is, you know.
No, I know what I'm saying is, I don't like either, but I know what you're saying earlier about the thing with an uncle, there's no impact. But if something like was your brother, that's what I'm saying is that's more of an impact. Hearing brother or uncle, it's like,
Feel like
yay.
Randor needs to have a significant parts of the story like that. You know, I'm fine with King Randor, you know, being the king that's hard on Adam, always busting his balls because Adam's running away or resting when he should be, you know, his court duties and things like that. That's fine. But the character does not need to be anything more than that. And of course, when, you know, I'm sure at some point, you know, for a future possibility that Randor would understand that Adam and He-Man are the same, and that would be a fun story to showcase the emotion in that one. And that's about it. You know, we don't need to give the king who's, you know, if you're looking for, can you imagine King Randor in Filmation, who only does so much and really got to do very, very little action throughout the entire series. You know, there's small snippets here and there, more or less like in Prince Adam No More. But deciding to make Skeletor his brother in that one, and you just kind of feel like, well, King Randor is not much of a focus of the series at all.
Oh,
And it seems like you're going for this big reveal for a character that's, you know, he's a second tier character. He's not a, you know,
no, I know what you mean. That's what I mean. The impact of that is different because then it's trying to put focus on King Randor, who doesn't have a predominant role. And it's like now it's like, okay, am I focusing now of this feuding between brothers of Randor and Keldor with He-Man as a third separate? It feels off, you know, just awkward. Yeah, so that's why it
and I
doesn't.
like the idea of Skeletor is this pissed off brother who was neglected or somehow got lost and wants his claim to the throne. Like, no, I want him to be like a guy who's like, I want the claim to the throne because I'm an evil SOB. And I don't care who's got it. I want it. I will kill whoever I've got to do or whoever I got to kill to get that throne. I will go through He-Man. I will go through all the hero quarters. And that's it. I feel like Sorceress Scintilla is a great one. Man-at-Arms being her adopted father, that's a good one too. And that's about all the family connection we really need, you know, because right there you've got a three character, a triangle of emotional ties between those three characters that if, you know, obviously Filmation did it right. I don't think NYP did it very good because the Sorceress was done so poorly in that series. Same thing with Teela. And Man-at-Arms wasn't much better in that one either.
Yep. You know,
I
I
just
think that's why it's going to get to what we're doing right now with all that back and forth is getting to basically one of our other topics. And I think
I love your attempt at trying to transition when, like, there is a transition here. We couldn't be more far removed
well,
from
no,
how you're
because
trying to
all
transition
the
right now.
no, because all these things, like how you were talking about MYP really didn't do this, but Filmation might have did this, we're basically touching on things we're going to get to, which is going to be a post I put up. I said, how would you rank the four cartoons of Filmation Masters? You know, obviously, well, the only Princess of Power, there is no other thing but that, but Princess of Power, New Adventures, and MYP. I put it up and I said, how would you rank them from your favorite to least favorite? And with the fans, it seemed like it usually was Filmation He-Man's number one. And then it was always back and forth between MYP He-Man and She-Ra, where they were battling for second and third. It was just back and forth, back and forth. And last was New Adventures. So I guess if, like I said, I'll give my rank. We can ramble about it. You give your rank, but I do put Filmation Masters of the Universe as my favorite. And I have to go with Princess of Power because it just, they felt like they're so closely connected. It's like growing up, it's like you're watching He-Man, you're watching She-Ra, you're loving them both. It felt like the same universe, even though, of course, two different worlds. And then I go with MYP because while there's some things, just like in any other cartoons you might not like, I still loved what they were doing and where they were going. Unfortunately, they couldn't get further. And New Adventures, the reason it's last for me is I didn't grow up with it. And not saying that would have changed my opinion, but maybe I would have felt a little more of a connection. When I got that on DVD and finally seen it, I told you it took a while for me to enjoy and respect New Adventures. Because again, for people who just say it's because a lot of people said they don't even like New Adventures and they've never seen it. I was like, you got to give it a chance. You got to give it an honest opinion because the more you watch it, it had a great, it was continuity to it, you know, through the entire series. And it did grow on you, but it's still, for me, I mean, it's bad. It's just, that's how I rank it. I go Filmation He-Man, She-Ra, MYP, and New Adventures. And I'm curious on yours, and then we can just ramble of why we think about it.
Well, Filmation He-Man comes without a doubt number one. She-Ra's number two.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to pick three and four because There were a lot of things. I love the entire story of New Adventures. The plot, the characters, everything. You know, not to say that all the execution was as good as it could be, even though you have a lot of stories, a lot of connections. A lot of the characters got used. And, you know, a lot of the characters that you bought in the toy line, I think for the most part, all got used in the toy line. I mean, in the cartoon, excuse me. And like with NYP, there's a lot of good things, but a lot of things that, you know, I know a lot of people who were not as, I mean, they feel like NYP set the bar higher and buried Filmation for the action, the animation, stories, whatever the case may be. But I just felt, you know, the stories of Filmation were so much more meatier that a lot, and not just, NYP had some classics for sure, but I just felt there was a lot of problems with NYP. But they got a lot of stuff right, and that's where I feel like it's if I say one is higher than the other, I don't feel comfortable saying that New Adventures is completely better than NYP, because I felt like, well, not necessarily. And I don't want to say NYP is better than New Adventures, because I just love the storyline of He-Man going to the future with Skeletor and finding a whole nother war with new heroes and new villains. And yeah, but you know, but then NYP's got King Grayskull, and that's the cardinal sin.
You and that, I know you hate
That and
that.
the weapon twirling and King Randor doing backflips in the air with anime lions running behind him, is just silly stuff like that. But I can't and I won't. I'm going to do what a lot of people do to Joe when he's posting stuff, and
Are you
he
gonna?
tells that you must pick one people, and then
You're
Joe's
not gonna
people pick,
pick.
well, I like this one and I like that one too. And then Joe's at home pulling his hair out and, you know, doing self-mutilation to himself because people are not
Are
listening
you
to him.
gonna cop out and you're not gonna pick a third and fourth? You're gonna say you like them equally? Is that what you're gonna do right now on this
See,
show?
the minute, because if I, you know what? See.
Man up, Tyler, pick one. Who's the third and what's third? What's fourth? You can do it. I believe in you.
I got, you know, New Adventures came along when I was 5 years old. I mean, I've got, you know, the Skell Staff. I've got the Power Sword here.
Yeah, you got the limp power sword, right?
Yeah, the Limp Power Sword. So,
Think we're
for
seeing
that,
memes coming with that.
as much as I love a lot of things about NYP, from Too Bad, Tuvar and Badra, the Caligars, the Faceless One, a lot of good stuff. But not to say that the cartoon is superior.
I love seeing you just in this position where you're just at a loss for words.
Like the elements of New Adventures, I find more enjoyable than NYP, but the quality of NYP is better than New Adventures. And that's why it's so hard for me to rank three and four, because
Heck, I mean, that's, you know, I can
you
see
know
that
what?
if you're.
I will. I'm going to say it strictly on this. And if somebody wants to, you know, debate this with me, you know, and another, you know, on Facebook or something. And I say friendly debate here. I don't mean come by and say, "How the hell do you like New Adventures, man?" You know, and stuff like
Nothing
that.
wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
But
that.
no, I will say New Adventures third, because I was so infatuated with the series when it came out. I wanted to know more about the characters that were on the card backs that were featured in the cartoon, and I didn't. So I was so hungry for more New Adventures, and I've loved it ever since. I didn't question the redesign. So, on the nostalgia factor, I will rank New Adventures third and NYP fourth. And like Joe, not to say that NYP is a lackluster cartoon, because it's certainly not. I have a lot of problems with it, but I know a lot of people love the hell out of that cartoon, and I respect it, and I know why they like it. But, it certainly has its pros and cons here. And I know a lot of people, when they're making their lists and answering this question, they're putting New Adventures at the bottom because they like to take a big, you know, dump all over it.
Yeah, and
But
I'll say
that's not.
why. And this is why. Because, like I said, you heard my ranking of why. I mean, well, you heard my ranking. You didn't hear why I picked them that way. But first, I'll say what you basically hear the negatives for each of those cartoons. For the people that hate the Filmation He-Man and hate She-Ra, they always say too corny, don't like the morals, wasn't serious enough, I didn't feel like I was getting continuity. That's what you usually hear. Then when it comes to new adventures, almost everybody, because a lot of the fans that say this, like I said, didn't even watch the cartoon ever. They say, I hate the thought of He-Man in space. The animation looked bad. Skeletor was too silly. It seemed funky and clunky. I wasn't into that. And then for the people that said MYP, they said they didn't like it because what you said, the anime style look, the flipping, the twirling, and everything else, and it feels like some of the characters just didn't have that same feel that we remembered. Not holding on to nostalgia, but seemed like some of the characters maybe written a little different than I guess what you'd expect
Well,
in general.
I didn't think Beast Man was just written that well in NYP at all. Like, he looked great, but the character itself stunk. Same thing with Whiplash and Clawful. Triclops, Trapjaw had a few moments, had some shining moments. I hated Evil Lyn's voice acting. I hate it. Whoever did her voice, I hate it. I hated every minute that she voiced Evil Lyn. I could not stand it. Brian Dobson kicked tons of ass with Skeletor. So in that sense, that Skeletor clearly is better than New Adventure Skeletor. I'm not going to argue that. But I still like New Adventure Skeletor. You understand that, people? I love New Adventure Skeletor. But MYP was done very well. It was great to see Skeletor sword fighting, doing, a lot of physical action, being imposing and threatening, things like that. But so that's why I feel like it's there's so many layers to this discussion here as to why. And if people want, I don't see how people could rank She-Ra lower. If I could see why. Hardcore She-Ra fans are going to rank that one number one. I get it because you love She-Ra, you love the mythology, all the characters. I would not argue that because it's a great cartoon. I love the Horde. He-Man's in it quite a bit, so it's a lot of good stuff there. But with New Adventures, I still feel like, well, even if you don't like the cartoon, how can you not like, I mean, my favorite mutant right here is Karate. I mean, I loved him since I saw that VHS tape where him and Hoove and Slushhead are attacking He-Man at the same time. I'm like, who is this guy? I mean, you look at this guy. If you don't like the cartoon, how can you not like these characters? I mean, just look at the visual design of characters like Kaio and Vizar and Nocturna and, Lizor. And we're getting Quake, thank God, from Super 7. I mean, what it's like you don't have to like the cartoon, but the characters look so awesome. How can you not like these characters? I don't get it. I mean, I never have.
Yeah, and that's what I would give as why, again, like if you want to start talking about the positives. See, this is the thing. I mean, obviously, with the Filmation cartoons, I mean, for me, what I enjoyed the most was, I mean, I did enjoy the morals. I always loved having a moral. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not talking down to people or demeaning them. Remember, it's geared towards children anyway, so it's good. Hey, if you're going to give something that's a positive message, what's wrong with that? But I also like that it wasn't. Now, here's the thing. People might, cut into me because I'm going to say this, but I don't mind some continuity because I know some cartoons do that where it keeps continuing. But I like that each episode basically had a beginning, a middle, an end. They were here to do from point A, B, and C, and there, it's over. It didn't feel like you had to, oh, tune in next week, oh, tune in next week. And that's the same thing with She-Ra. You got your beginning, your end. I liked it. I at least enjoyed it for that.
Yeah,
And
and
I
I
do.
like it too, and that's why I wish we were getting that in comic books. Like we don't
I
need to.
miss that.
I do too.
I miss that in
Wish we were,
comics.
getting just one shot mini comics, one shot comic books itself, and not stop trying to tell a ridiculous story that goes nowhere.
Yeah, I don't like it too dragged. A little bit. If you want to do those little three-shot story arcs, fine, but then go
A
back to give
three-part
us.
story. That's about it. Laid the seeds for it in your single issues, single one-shot issues that something big is coming up. Play it out over 3 issues, something like that.
That's
Because
fine. That's what I said. Do a little three-part story arc if you want, but then for the rest of the years, it's like, yeah, give us the good one-shots like the old days. You don't feel like you have to keep hanging on. The thing is, now you think about New Adventures. Now, that had, continuity, which was good. And that's what people loved about MYP. They said beyond the new animation, which a lot of them liked, some didn't like the anime, but some liked the new animation, but they loved the continuity. And that's why I say for the people who hate on New Adventures a whole lot, trust me, give it more of a chance, and you'll see this is another story that had continuity, and it really does draw you in. So, I mean, for people who love continuity, you have them both. And like I said, I have no issue with continuity, but I just enjoyed the Filmation stuff because, like I said, I just like a beginning and end quickly. But if there was some things that would go and have a couple I'd have no problem with. I mean, I know, of course, House of Chicoté is basically the only two-parter in history and kind of makes you think, oh, what's going to happen next? But sure, would I like a couple more to do that? Fine. But I just never like something where it's constantly having you hold on, because this is what suffers. Meaning, if the show is canceled, you're then left with, dang, we never got this, or this never happened, because you were expecting it, you thought it was going to happen, but because, again, things get canceled, you're canceled, and then you're left with, dang, that never happened. But as for when you're watching in the old days of Filmation, sure, it sucked when the cartoon went off the air, but when it went off, I was like, oh, dang, wait, that didn't happen. It's like, no, you never thought of it because it was never giving you a cliffhanger. There was no cliffhanger. You know, I used to hate that about TV shows and a TV series. Like, just one, for example, The Fugitive. Sure, we've seen the movie, and yes, you know, in the movie, at least it wrapped it up. But when they did the TV series, it's like, oh, I can't wait to next week. Oh, they're ever going to get the guy? Will he ever be innocent? And it's canceled. So that's why, for me, sometimes continuity, I'm not a fan of. People who would love the continuity, more power to them. So I'm saying to the fans who loved NYP because of continuity, and hate New Adventures with ever not watching it, give it a chance because New Adventures has continuity and it is a good cartoon. It really is. I just say give it a chance. If you guys don't like it, hey, you don't. But I'm saying it's not as bad as you think.
Well, it certainly doesn't end like NYP does, you know.
Oh,
NYP,
was that with Zodak going off?
well, was Zodak going off, and then you know the final episode for season two never got made. But you know, as if everyone's going to get blue balls over Man turning into a snake, man. Like, oh man, what is going to happen next season, man? It's like, oh my gosh. It's like I'm glad we were spared that atrocity because I really just wish I could grab the staff of NYP. Like, why is this so? What's a big deal to you guys? As if like you know children you know are gonna be turning. Oh man, dude, you see what happened to Man at Arms? He's a snake man now. I can't believe it, man. Oh my God, you know it's just like it's like it's just. I hate it so much. I hate it with a passion, man. I'm running out of words to say here because I've beaten the character so many times on here, and it's just such a crummy idea. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of everyone else's time, especially when everyone knew the Horde was coming in the third season. Like, does anyone care about Man-at-Arms becoming Snake Man and then turning back into a normal human being by the end of the season? Are you laughing or you're adjusting your mask?
I was laughing, and then my mask was starting to go
Oh.
down, so I had to pop it back up.
But you're like holding, like, you know, like someone who laughs will kind of grab their head and go,
No, I just crack up when you, like I said, when you start losing it. See, just what you were doing right there, it shows. That's why I wanted you to give your definitive four, because I knew eventually this would come out. I know that you like New Adventures more. That's why I wanted you to say it, because there's nothing wrong with it. If you'd like New Adventures more being third, then that's why I wanted you to do that, because I had a
You know,
feeling.
just like, well, like I said, with NYP, New Adventures has got a lot of flaws too. I mean, first thing comes to mind are those god awful scientists. You know, it's just like a, you know, it's people want to sit there and trash Orko and Snarf and Cal and Lucky. Like, no, those characters were done very well. There's nothing despicable or unlikable about any of them. But you got these four scientists that serve no purpose other than, you know, I think they really need to be, you know,
They were
castrated.
trying to be comic relief. That's a difference with them,
When
or a difference
they're
with them.
trying so hard, you know, it's just it's not funny. It's you know, it's like Jim Cornette saying that if someone slips on a banana peel, you're like, ah, that guy slipped and fell. But if a guy grabs you, gets your attention, throws a banana peel and slips and falls on it while he's got everyone's attention, it's not funny. And that's what those four guys were. They were not funny at all. They served no purpose. They're there to be, you know, we've made this device, or we found this great discovery, and just walk around like a bunch of four morons, and it's not funny.
Because, like,
And
Orko.
that's the hard part, that's like when you're recommending that cartoon, they're in a lot of those episodes, and I'm like, it's hard pushing that cartoon when you have something that's so irritating in that, you know. And I feel like, yeah, I've heard so many years people slamming Orko and slamming, you know, Snarf. I don't know if people slam Cal or anything like that, but I'm just like, no, there's far worse sidekicks out there. And Orko and Snarf and Cal, they're great little characters. I love those characters to death. And I hate how people want to slam the little childlike characters or whatever you want to call them, the cute and cuddly characters, you know.
And Orko, exactly, because Orko, I don't think, like you said, unlike the four scientists that are trying to be funny, and it feels forced, like we said
I
earlier.
don't know if Orko was trying to
He
be funny. He's a
wasn't.
character.
Yeah,
No,
exactly. Oracle wasn't trying to be funny. Sure, there was the times that, yeah, the eggs on Man-at-Arms screwing up a spell, but that's just childlike innocence fun for the show. It wasn't trying to make you crack up and laugh. But those scientists were trying to be funny. And I hated the scientists. Here's what I didn't like about New Adventures, which I'm sure you'll disagree with, but what I didn't like was the absolute quickest transformations for Skeletor. It seems like he got three or four different looks within how many episodes? Maybe within the first 10, 15? I was like, I thought that was too quick.
he changed the Disc of Doom Skeletor within the first 6 or 8 episodes.
But his looks, remember first
I
the
forgot
eyes, the no eyes, the
it has crystal in the title because I forgot the name of the crystal that turns Skeletor into Disc of Doom Skeletor, you know.
Is that the one where he played the magical tic-tac-toe game, the whole mystery of the world to have the walls raise up and then get that? It's like, why? Again, that was stupid. But what I didn't like was, yeah, they showed Skeletor first with, like no eyes, then glowing red eyes, then big bug eyes, and then it's like, and then like you said, his different designs. I felt like if you want, I know that maybe they were trying to do that again to promote and sell the toys, like everybody loves to say, but I wish that could have been stretched out through the series a little further, not so quick, because it's like I didn't get a chance to enjoy any particular Skeletor too much. Right when I'm into this one, here's another, here's another, here's another, and then that's the one you're stuck with. But I felt like they should have spaced it out a little more, at least for me. I mean, if you thought it worked perfect, I mean, hey, I can understand it, but I wish it
Well,
kind of
they
stretched.
certainly don't make use of the original New Adventure design for a very long time because then they go into the second variation. And, you know, before season one is over, Battle Blade Skeletor comes out. And he's got the bare skull and, you know, the bits of hair coming down. And it's not a horrible design or anything. Well, a Skeletor with hair really doesn't work. But it's, you know, I guess as a kid, when you see the variants, you're like, hey, that's cool. But from a story standpoint, it strictly was advertising, and that's, you know, it's you build it up as if like it's a power enhancement, of course, but that's all it really was, though. I mean, it's, but I get where you're coming from on that one. I mean, whereas we didn't get to see variations of He-Man, Skeletor, and Hordak in Filmation, we got to see it in New Adventures,
We
and
sure did, yeah.
unfortunately, we got to see a lot of it in NYP.
Yeah, what a shame. Because like you said, it would have been interesting to see Battle Armor He-Man or Thunder Punch He-Man or any of them in the cartoon for Filmation back in the day. Never happened, but yeah, that could have been kind of cool now that you think about it.
Wouldn't
But
have been
yeah.
like Battle on the He-Man and Skeletor wouldn't have been a tall order, I think, because you're just adding something to their chest and you're, you know, animating a slight dent in their chest, which wouldn't be all the time. I can't imagine they all that Filmation would keep going back to the dent feature. Just, you know, hey, and you know, Disappearing Dragons, He-Man's running around in his battle armor in this episode, just as a nod, and that's really about it. You know, just a fun thing that make the kids freak out, you know.
Yeah, especially if for when they're saying that that show is nothing but a cartoon, that was just advertising the toy. It was one big toy commercial. Well, they never
Yeah,
threw that in there.
and promoting Satanism, like those two jackasses on that they were claiming He-Man was pushing Satanism and devil worship, and Manny Face is a demon, is a man possessed by a demon. I forgot what that. It's on YouTube. People know what we're talking
No,
about,
they
you know.
do. And that's what I always loved about it. I always bring up to everybody. I was like, do you have any friend on your He-Man's list? Not that, of course, people are saying, I worship Satan, on their wall, but I've never came across any fans of Masters of the Universe when I talked with them saying, you know what? I worship Satan because of Masters. I've never heard that statement in my life. So, oh, yeah. God, these people, it's like, do you have anything better to do than trying to pick on a cartoon that's just there just to have fun, just to give kids something to enjoy? It's just some of
Beaten on the
that.
face with shovels.
Right. So, well, I guess through this whole big topic we just did, I guess we pretty much both agree that Filmation He-Man and She-Ra, that's our top two picks. But I differed where I said I go with NYP as third, New Adventures fourth, and you went New Adventures third, NYP fourth. So everybody can be on, a different, different opinions, but hey, we can still all enjoy the stuff. They're all still great cartoons. If any of you guys have one you hate, like I said, go back, give them a chance. Really, none of them are as bad as you might think they are, because there's love for them and there's hate. But I'll let you start off our next topic. And that's going to be, this is a book to where I want to say this has nothing to do with Stondar. It has nothing to do with Rockon. You can put it up there. You can say what it's called, and that'll be, I'll have a little something to say about that. But go ahead. What book are we going to talk about?
We are talking about one of the finest pieces of American literature. You hear that, Aaron Johnson?
What's it
The
called?
Rock Warriors.
Wait, just to say, you got a soft one, and I got a hard one. Wait
Realize we were
a
going to take the sound bite and really run with the joke on that one.
like, I
You got
didn't.
a soft one. I got a hard one.
Wait, I didn't even.
After I had the limp power sword joke already.
That didn't even. You know what's bad is as I started saying, I was like, wait, that's not how it meant. For people that are listening, this was not planned. Tyler just held up his soft Rock Warriors book, and I have the hard
It's
one.
soft rock. You know, it's like you're saying I'm Joe Don Baker, and it's like, you know, my ancestors were large, soft rocks.
And mine, well, yeah, well, he's got the soft book, I got the hard book, and that's just kind of strange, but okay, go ahead.
Hey, how Joe got no technical difficulties? He's talking about my soft rocks.
I'll let you go. Go on. Go ahead,
It's
Tom.
not a technical difficulty on Joe's part if it's the truth.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. There we
Little
go.
hate crime coming on right now, live on the air.
Well, go ahead, Tyler. You start off with the Rock Warriors.
Okay, let me open my soft rock book here.
Yeah, here's a soft, the limp sword at the
Yeah, and
beginning.
as you will notice that this story has not Bill Cosby, but Buzz Office featured in this story is a nice tie-in from last week here. And then you picture him walking around, Adam, you want some, you know, some Jello boarding and some Kodak film? And did you see me as on my, you know, Bill Cosby as myself, or Buzz Off as himself, you know?
That's right.
I don't even know where to start. I'm so jumbled up from all this. Yeah, I got soft rocks.
Well, come on, start off with your. Yeah, I mean, but go ahead, start
Well,
off.
we're not going to do the whole, we're not reading the whole book here. I mean, we're just,
No, but start off with
okay.
basically the premise. Like I said, we never give the whole
It's a
thing.
fantastic story. I mean, it's just a it's I mean it's a simple story where you got your heroic warriors are enjoying some peace to themselves by, you know, wandering around some of the lavish lands of the area and get ambushed by Webstor and Jitsu, which thank God we get to see Jitsu and Webstor as a tag team in this one. Jitsu especially, who never gets any kind of acknowledgement, hardly in the majority of the mythology.
Yeah, which it's good
And
to see in there.
it's an unlikely team up, but I'm like, man, I love this. So when I saw this book as a kid, I'm like, Jitsu and Webstor, I'm like, you know, boom, my brain just exploded. And Buzz Off is in the same book as well. So it was just, you know, it's just a fun story where they're pretty much luring the heroic warriors, you know, kind of distracting them while Skeletor's working on building an army of rock warriors from his Rotom. And it just is like, you know, he creates warriors in this one spot while they deal with it. Skeletor, Webstor, and Jitsu move on to another location, create some more, and it's just churning these rock warriors that just invade Eternia all over the place, you know, and he starts mass producing them at Snake Mountain, and then they decide, well, we got to go to Snake Mountain and take care of this problem, you know, all together. And Buzz Off discovers that water is the Rock Warriors' weakness. That if you get them hit with water, they just turn into, I believe it's
Mud.
mud, mush,
Yeah.
you know, dissolving. They dissolve in water essentially. That whatever Skeletor is using on the rocks counteracts with water and it makes it worthless. And in doing so, Skeletor creates one giant Rock Warrior.
And what is his name? He is
And
the ultimate.
the ultimate Rock Warrior,
Exactly. I
man.
could just see him just shaking the ropes. I loved when they call him that.
Ropes. He's got tassels hanging from his elbows here, and you know, he's talking about taking the two pilots who've already made the sacrifice, and
Right.
you
He
know,
should have just started
take
talking
them
and
to the
rambling.
water here.
How great would that have been when He-Man finally confronts him? He just sits there and he starts talking to his hands and looking up into the sky and pulling down. It's like, what is going on? He-Man's just saying, like, what
You know,
in the hell?
he's doing this whole number two, and.
But you know what was cool? Like you said, the story was cool because, first, again, we rarely ever see Jitsu have any screen time or, well, any time in comics books
Any use
anywhere.
at all. Like
Yeah,
he's
that's the
just so
way.
underused, and I can't stand that.
Yeah, so it was good that he got to pop up, and he popped up not only with, you know, his chopping hand, but he had a sword. So it's cool to give him a sword. Webstor, he had a really weird face, almost reminded me of Whiplash. It looked like he was drawn
Yeah,
differently.
he's got, you know, which I mean, they're trying to go for the figure because he's got the two teeth coming down, the teeth coming up, They're
It's
clearly
fake
born for
protrude.
toy, but it looks a bit like Whiplash.
Yeah, because his face is
Yeah.
kind of almost protruding coming out. And he, what's weird is his weapon that he's holding is this grappling hook with no string. It's like he's just standing like
It's
this.
like a
Which,
blunt object to smack people
yeah.
around with.
And that's what I was going to get to. Did you notice, we always hear that, they always say that the characters in the comic books are usually in the cartoon, obviously. They're never using their weapons to attack. But in this one, they were all attacking with their weapons, including He-Man. He-Man was
Yeah.
using his sword the whole time until the end when he took out the Ultimate Warrior, the Ultimate Rock Warrior with a punch. But that's what I felt bad with. Skeletor finally summoned up this gigantic one, and then you see him in one panel, and the next panel, He-Man punches him and turns him into a bowler. It's like, oh, dang it, man. We didn't get to see the guy do nothing. But I like the use of weapons because it's something that, again, you always hear people say it never happens. Well, in this one, it did. So there was a lot of use of that. What I didn't like, one part I didn't like, not that it hurts the comic at all, I mean, the book at all, because it's just the way they're telling the story, was when all the Rock Warriors were, like surrounding, I think, Man-at-Arms and Teela, and then when Buzz Off was cornered, I think they referenced it somehow where they said Buzz Off was like at a dead end by a water stream, and that's when the one Rock Warrior
By a
tackles.
screen.
Okay. Yeah, and then the Rock Warrior tackles Buzz Off and takes him into the water, and that's when he dissolves, and Buzz Off figures out, hey, it's what's water that'll take care of him. I felt like that person that should have been standing there should have been Man-at-Arms or Teela, and here's why. What do you mean Buzz Off is like cornered? He could fly. What are you talking about? Buzz Off could have just flew over the water. I felt like the wrong character was put in that panel. If you see what I mean, because like they made it seem like, oh God, Buzz Off has nowhere to go. There's a stream in back of him. It's like, yeah, but Buzz Off has wings. Buzz Off can fly, unlike Man-at-Arms or Teela. They would have been
Buzz
cornered
Off
by the
is the
stream.
new character, new heroic warrior. This he needs the promotion. All right, I don't want to hear your logic.
He's like, damn it, Joe did it again. Because you know what I'm going to do one more time? And I don't mean to do this. This was, I think, their way of selling the Dragon Walker. When they're all going to Snake Mountain, you have, now listen to what I'm saying, people. You have He-Man flying the Wind Raider. You have Teela, I think she's in one of the jet sleds. I mean, no, sky sleds. Sky sleds. And you have Man-at-Arms taking the old Dragon Walker. He's taking the old slow Dragon Walker. So when Buzz Off finds out what to do, and he tells He-Man, hey, He-Man, water's their weakness. That's what can take it. He's like, I know what to do right now. He gets into the Dragon Walker, and as he's going Dragon Walker, something along the lines of, I'm sure glad Man-at-Arms brought this because the Dragon Walker can get over this big gorge. I'm like, oh yeah, unlike the Wind Raider that could have just flew over the gorge or the sky sled. But yeah, I guess, hey, the Dragon Walker can get over the gorge.
See,
That would have
Joe is the kid that if you're in elementary school with Joe here, that when you're showcasing this great new book, Joe comes over, pushes his glasses up, with his pocket protector,
awful.
and just it just starts tearing apart this awesome story with his logic. And then you know what? Then you just want to hang him up on the monkey bars and use his head as a speed bag because he's got to find, well, technically here, people, he's acting like Kyle's cousin Kyle in South Park. I don't want to be too much of a bother here, but I'm just telling you right here that the Dragon Walker, it's really not logically efficient for him to be using this when he's got the Wind Raider. You ever seen the episode Quest for the Sword? It really
Shut up.
doesn't really play. I don't want to be a bother here, but I just had to say something. I just want to.
Is he Woody Allen now?
Well, that's how cousin Kyle's Kyle sounds like. He's got that Woody Allen, I need fish. Where's my glasses? My glasses, my fish,
Here's the thing. Again,
But this would be Joe on the playground. When Joe long, comes up there wearing his mask, because I'm sure he covered his face back then too. He's probably wearing one of those plastic the plastic He-Man costume masks. What was the name of the company that released all those outfits?
Ben Cooper. Ben Cooper.
Ben Cooper. He's wearing like a Hornak or a Rock On Ben Cooper mask, and breathing heavy. Like after he finishes, he's just breathing heavy behind that mask.
Well, I like this book, but you're right. It's just like how I picked on you with the whole thing with He-Man and the quest for the sword, but pulling over and he kind of just flew with the Wind Raider. I always had to bring these up because here's the other thing that I thought was funny at the beginning. Skeletor is with the Rotom, he has this new gun that's on the Rotan that's shooting rocks, bringing them to life. That's the whole gimmick. He's bringing rock warriors to life. Well, is after they kind of defeat him, and He-Man's like, I'll go after Skeletor. He chases Skeletor to where he's like going back to Snake Mountain. And then Skeletor's, well, that's you haven't seen the last of me or some crap. You know how the villains always say that. And then He-Man's back at the palace, and he's telling the king and the queen, he's like, well, you know what? I think that Skeletor, he said he's going to plan an attack, and it's like, okay,
he throws up.
Yeah, what's that? Listen. So anyways.
Wait. Oh, for God's sakes, go.
Listen, so he goes back to the king and queen to say, I chased him back to Snake Mountain, but now he said he might come back. So now I'm going to go to Snake Mountain to stop him. I'm like, well, why? Is he talking or did he go mute on me? Joe, what happened? Were you just mouthing something, or was he talking? What happened?
I
were you talking
about Danny DeVito and twins? Because you
with remember that
you just stopped and I said, Joe, whatever you're saying, I said you froze up. You unfroze and you're just like, bleh, 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 bleh. I said, Joe, wait, you, I didn't hear what you said, and you still kept going. I said, Joe, you froze up. You're like, wait, what? Well, anyway, like you know what? Forget it. And like,
I remember when. Stop it. I remember when Danny DeVito did that in Twins.
Get him talking to the phone, bozo.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I didn't know I froze. But okay, what happened?
Well, no, because of the yammering that, you know, Kyle's cousin Kyle here on the playground just wouldn't stop.
Well, just in case, for the ones that maybe if I froze I on them too.
I'm telling you, I didn't hear the majority of what you were saying.
Well, let me say. Okay, what I was saying was He-Man chases. Listen, shut up. He-Man chases Skeletor back to Snake Mountain at the beginning. And then Skeletor's like, I'll be back or this isn't the last you'll hear of me. Then the next scene is He-Man's at the palace and he's telling the king and queen, Skeletor said, or I chased Skeletor back to Snake Mountain, but he said he's going to come back. So now we're going to go after him. I was like, well, why didn't you just continue chasing him right there at the beginning and you could have stopped him in the Rotan right there? But now you got to go back to tell them and then go back to Snake Mountain to do it again. But I like the story, but it's like those parts of like, well, why did you have to do this multiple times? And then this gun, why did you have a gun that dissolves? Did you know that his gun dissolved by water too? I was like, well, this wasn't a really well-made gun then, Skeletor. You should have made a better gun. So not only do the rock warriors melt with water or turn to mud, so does his gun. So, yeah.
Joe's one in black telling kids there is no Easter Bunny over there. It's just a guy in a suit, you know?
It was fun. No, it was a fun story.
The opinion that there is no Easter Bunny is not that of the Pop Culture Network. That is one that's held by Tyler, and we don't know why he would say something so crazy. We're sorry, children. Please keep on listening.
I agree with that. What I'm doing, children, is I'm quoting a movie called Mallrats where a guy is accusing the Easter Bunny of not being real, which we all know is horse blank. So I'm just right. Using that to mock Joe as his need to tear down this American classic here that needs to be found in all elementary schools across America.
It is good.
No, across Europe and Asia and everywhere else for that matter. But you don't want Joe hanging out near your local library and saying, hey, kid, don't tell anybody, but on page 16, it doesn't make sense, kid. You know,
well,
Joe's got a toothpick hanging out of his mouth like some sort of greaser.
Mine was from the library.
Yeah. Joe clearly must have took it from some kid in elementary school who's probably
stolen literature.
Now, you know,
stolen literature. My God, I'd have an Al Bundy moment. I'd probably owe $5,000 if I'd have to take this back to the library. Or
the library detective, after you, like in Seinfeld, you know, Mr. Bookman. You know, I bet you, you know, making the scene, Joe drawing pictures of pee-pees and wee-wees and books. I'm sure that's what Joe was doing. When he wasn't checking out the golden books in the library in his local elementary school, he's drawing pictures of pee-pees and wee-wees and the five Chinese brothers and the cat in the hat.
This was a good story. I picked on a couple little parts in it, but no, this is good.
And you're walking by and dumping the books out of this book, all right? You know, you're stuffing it in the locker. You're hanging it from the goalpost here.
And one other good reason that we brought up about the Rock Warriors, if you just heard... Stone Dar and Rock On are not in this. The reason we're saying that is because a lot of people always think that Stone Dar and Rock On are rock warriors and that they were in this book and that's kind of where they got their name, when in fact they are called the Comet Warriors. I don't think they've ever been The Rock Wars. They are called the Comet
All right,
Warriors.
this is where I have to tell Joe to shut up right now, because if you people go to YouTube and watch, you know, the Comet Warriors toy commercial, they are called the Rock Warriors. Rocks you transform. They are called that in there. So if you do a
The
Google
toy
search,
commercial.
if you do a Google search for the Rock Warriors, you will find this book and the Comet Warriors at the same time.
And that's a
So if
bad
you want,
Google search.
I call them Rock Warriors to this
No.
day, and I still will, no matter what
No.
little Joe Amato here has to
They are
say.
the Comet Warriors. That's what they'll always be to me. So that Google search sucks, and that commercial was, it was wrong. There was no facts to
Did
that
you
commercial.
hear that, people? That this awesome commercial, The Rock Warriors fighting Grizzlor, is an abomination. It's a crime against humanity and nature and everything that this toy line stands for, according to the rotten Amato here, who tears apart
Sorry,
anything precious that we
I
hold
did.
dear and sacred.
I don't. It's just, I love. Like I said, I love the book. I just had to pick on a couple things. I shouldn't do that because you're right. It's just a book to be fun. But dang it, when I see some things that don't make sense, I guess I have to have fun with it. Because yeah, thank
You
God
know, you
that.
ought to be looking at like the meteor orbs.
What did you say?
I said you should be very, you know, you should feel very lucky that I like the meteor orbs. I'll tell you that right now.
I know. I just want to let it be known again. But like I said, He-Man is flying that Wind Raider. And then later on, he has to get across a gorge. And he thinks, dear God, thank God to get the Dragon Walker because they couldn't use the
Yeah,
Wind
this is
Raider.
a good time to go watch paint dry during this. So if you want to
Sorry,
do
sorry about that. Yeah, I
make
just
a
had to
snack,
bring that up.
blow your nose or something like that, now's a good
But
time to do
it's a good book, so people
it.
can pick it up. So, well, Tyler, we covered all our topics. It was a good episode. So with that being said, why don't you go ahead, give us a recommendation of go ahead, give us a new adventures episode that'd be good for people that maybe are on the fence that really hate the cartoon. What's something that can maybe draw them in that you can say, you know what? If you've never really watched the show and you watch this episode, you can see this was a really good episode, and then go ahead and try to give them all a chance.
Battle for Leviton, which is the end of this, I think it's a 4 or 5 part story where Skeletor and the mutants win and take over Primus, and it ends with Skeletor, you know, is he's in control. He-Man and the Galactic Guardians are on the run and are forcing He-Man out of hiding and saying that the entire city of Leviton will be taken away if He-Man does not surrender. And He-Man does surrender, but they also find the weakness of these jeez, I'm drawing a blank here. These creatures that Skeletor and Flog create and unleash on Primus is one of the reasons Skeletor takes over. Androids, excuse me, that's what they're called. But that's it's a solid, it's a fun, good episode. But I would recommend watching the parts prior to that. But it's a great capper to that storyline, and just it's fun to see Skeletor win and is in control for several episodes, not just a episode, you know. So that's my recommendation for new adventures. And I'm gonna give a quick shout out to my cousin Jason Duncan, who just discovered this podcast recently. And I hadn't spoken to him in a long, long time. So He-Man has brought family together here, people. So I want to give a shout out to Jason. If he's listening to this episode, I want to thank him for his positive feedback about our show. And new friend Karsten, who I'm working with, and
Carson
hopefully we'll have
Clinch.
some good.
Yeah, Carson Clinch, the super
Yeah,
artist. Oh,
Karsten, back to you, bud, and look forward to sharing some news of what I'm doing with him, hopefully in the near future here.
yeah,
So
he.
that those are my shout outs there. And yeah, I guess that's all I've
Okay.
got right now.
Well, you're right though, Carson, an incredible artist. People will be seeing that very soon. I mean, he's done some other projects that, yeah,
Yeah,
just.
I'm doing my best to bite my tongue about that. I'm kind of waiting till.
Yeah, hold it in. Yeah, fans will
So,
see it soon
yeah,
enough.
hold it in. I got to be more like Joe and not go for, I'm kind of laying a small seed of you know, hey, I'm working on something here, so hopefully, you know, we'll have something to divulge to listeners and people on the various various Facebook pages and things like that as to what we're working on, and
All right.
hopefully have something for you soon.
Good. So something to come with Karsten, and it's great to see that, this podcast brought some family together. Like you said, talking to a cousin you haven't talked to in years or something, that's fantastic. One quick thing, the new adventures, can that be found on YouTube or no? Because you mentioned that episode.
Yeah, there is a guy on YouTube who has posted, as far as I know, the entire season of New Adventures. And if you just type in New Adventures of He-Man, I mean, you'll get all the episodes will start popping up. If you type in Battle for Leviton, if you type in the Ultimate Challenge, if you type in what's the I think Once Upon a Time, I think it's what's called, the episode where Teela shows
Tila.
up.
So it will come
Yeah.
up. Good. Okay. Just
Yeah,
wanted
or
to.
just type in New Adventures of He-Man and you should get a listing of, you'll probably get some commercials for the awesome toy commercials and stuff like that, but the episodes are all on YouTube if you don't have the two BCI
Good.
releases of the two volumes of the well, the only release of the entire series.
Right. Well, let me know. It's fantastic. At least they can see it. So good. Well, thank you for saying that because I just want to make sure they could watch the episode.
I can't, the guy who loaded up, I don't know how to pronounce his username on there. But they're all on there. I
Okay.
mean, they're, and as far as they're all in watchable quality. They're not super small to avoid copyright with fast-forwarded voices and all kinds
Right.
of errors. With no, they are clear as day, as if you're watching them on a DVD.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Good. That is good to hear. And well, as for me, I was going to say Walter Harris, he's a man that created a story called Hammer of the Gods. And he sent me a mini comic of the story of one of his characters, Punch Out. It's a mini comic. And in an upcoming, or excuse me, upcoming episode, we're going to discuss that because it was a really great mini comic. It takes you back to the days of, the 80s, feels of stories like that. Not only just mini comics, but stories in general. He did a fantastic job. And we'll definitely be bringing that up soon, too. Just want to give a shout out to him. And besides that, like I said, places to go. You can always go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Face Group or Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Hans, Booby, I'm your white knight.
That's right. You gotta quote some Die Hard.